Okay, we're going to go out of recess back into public hearings. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. This time I'll read the rules of procedure for our County Council zoning hearings. When Council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because Council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County, in its zoning land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, source of income, sex, creed, marital status, age, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken in consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the commission hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the commission hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reason for their opposition or questions. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak and are present in the chambers, you're required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you participate telephonically, please state your name and address before you give your statement. When you speak, please turn off any electronics and make sure there's no background noise or discussions. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, please hand it to me and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. If testimony is repetitive, then you may be asked to move on to another point or topic. Remember, it is the quality of the testimony that is persuasive, not the quantity. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the commission has not issued its recommendation report at the time of the council hearing, council will defer action on application in those cases. In those cases only, council shall accept and consider written comments from the public on the commission's recommendations to the council for a period of 5 calendar days following commission's issuance of its recommendations. This does not preclude the council from requesting additional information as otherwise permitted. Furthermore, once the record is closed, the council, on my advice, will not read or respond substantively to any mail, email, text, or engage in any conversations about application. Their decision will be made only based on the record established at both the council and commission hearings. And Mr. President, the first hearing today and the only hearing is public conditional use number 2401. Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for multifamily 180 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 48.36 acres more or less. The property is lying on the northeast corner of Old Mill Road, which is Route 349, and the southwest corner of Railway Road, which is Sussex County Route 350, at the intersection of Railway Road and Old Mill Road. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 134, Map 12, Parcel 74.01. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan. We have a copy of the applicant's coloured rendering. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet. We have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We have a copy of the DelDOT service level evaluation response. We have a copy of the plus comments. We have a copy of the applicant's environmental assessment and a copy of the previous approval for conditional use 2206, including the meeting minutes and of the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting of March 25th of 2021. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have six written comments that are included in your paperless packet. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of December 14th of last year. And at the meeting of January 3rd of this year, the Commission recommended approval of the application for the nine reasons stated and subject to the 17 recommending conditions as outlined within the motion. And Mr. President, a copy of that motion along with the draft minutes of both of those meetings is included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
Any questions from Council? If not, Mr. Fuquay.
Turn your microphone on there before you get started.
I think you have to repeat yourself.
Am I on?
There you are.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I represent the applicant. And I think this is the third time this month I've appeared before you, and if you'll put up with me one more time, I promise I won't be back for a while. I represent the applicant, OA Sundance Club, LLC. The LLC is actually associated with Ocean Atlantic Companies. With me is Ben Gordy of Ocean Atlantic and Alan Dechter of Pannoni Associates. Preston Shell's away, so he could not be here to attend the hearing today. There wasn't an informational exhibit book that was submitted for the record, and this is a conditional use application for 180 multifamily residential units, which would be single-family condominium homes in an over 55 age-restricted community. This application is rather unique in that this site has already had approval as a conditional use and has received final site plan approval for a 200 multifamily unit project in 17 multifamily buildings. Quite simply, today's application is proposing three modifications to that approved conditional use and site plan. The first, rather than the large multifamily unit buildings, the applicant is proposing single family detached condominium units, and both those types of units are considered and defined as multifamily dwellings under the county zoning ordinance. The second modification, on the original approval, there was a 2.25 acre parcel located on the east side of Railway Road, which would be to the right there, that was part of that application. That parcel has been separated. It's not part of this application. It's a separate parcel that would be dealt with separately on the other side of the road, if and when anything is done with that. And then the third modification is really just a reduction in the number of units. The approved conditional use is for 200 units. That number is being reduced to 180 units. There's going to be two parts to my presentation. I want to review a little bit of the history of the prior use, which I know you're all aware of, but I want to review that for the record, and then I want to show the modified site plan and the reasons we believe that the modified plan is appropriate. The property is located at the northwest corner of the intersection of Railway Road and Old Mill Road. The parcel contains 48.36 acres. The majority of the site is farmland. There's approximately 3.6 forested acres, which include a 1.3 acre piece of forested non-tidal wetlands and they're located in the northwest corner, which you can see in the northwest corner on the site plan. The parcel has frontage on both Railway Road and Old Mill Road. It's adjacent to a wooded parcel in the rear and basically surrounded by predominantly single-family residential developments, which make up the area. In 2010, the property was approved as a conditional use for 200 multifamily units. That approval was subsequently voided for failure to be substantially underway within the permitted time. And then in April of 2021, the County Council had a public hearing on a conditional use application filed by Linder and Company. That was also for a 200-unit multifamily development that was very similar to the 2010 conditional use. That application was designated as conditional use 2206. And I want to just briefly review the history of that application. I do want to mention that today's applicant and Ocean Atlantic and I were not involved in those applications. So the history I represent is from the county's minutes and several newspaper articles that I read. And I'm sure the council will remember that the that application was a rather controversial application. From what I've read the minutes, the public hearing lasted over 5 hours. There was an opposition petition with over 1,000 signatures in opposition. There were over 260 emails and letters in opposition submitted. And there was an opposition organization called the Evans Farm Watch, which is made up of representatives of over a dozen area communities that led the opposition. Ultimately, without going into details, the council approved that application by a 3-2 vote. And again, that vote permitted 200 units in 17 large multifamily buildings with 17 garage buildings. And Jamie, if you could, can you put up the Linder site plan? As I said, today's application is modifying that development by replacing the large multifamily buildings with single-family detached condominium units and reducing the number of units. There are several reasons for the proposed change. First, as you know, Ocean Atlantic Companies is an established and experienced local developer. They develop single and multifamily developments, rental developments, and commercial properties. And based on the company's experience and knowledge of Sussex County, it was determined that this site was not an appropriate location for a development of a large multifamily rental project. Now, no one disputes, and we all are aware, the need for rental housing on the east side of the county, particularly for workforce housing. But that type of housing needs to be in the right place. And the business decision was made that this just was not the right place for a number of reasons. The site is not in close proximity to shopping areas or employment centers. The site is not served by public transportation or bus service. And the area roads, in particular, Railway Road between Old Mill Road and Route 26, the roads in that area are very narrow, two-lane roads without sidewalks or shoulders, and really would create an unsafe condition for pedestrians, and I would say a significantly dangerous condition for bicycle riders on those roads. And Jamie, you can put the site plan back up. Again, at the original hearing in 2021, the opposition noted that the large multifamily project buildings do not really fit in and are out of character with the predominantly single family residential nature of the area. And I think you're all familiar with the area and from your prior hearing, you know what the makes up the area. Again, the previously approved plan showed 17 buildings. There were 17 garages in front of the building. One of the residents who I later found out, I read this from an article in the paper, Mr. Lapner, he described that as a circled wagon train design, which I laughed when I heard that, because that's exactly what it looked like. It looked like we were going to be attacked. We better circle the wagons, and there might be some reason for that. That design, it certainly did have a military-type compound appearance. It had a very defensive look to it. Certainly no one would question that it was not in character with what existed in that area. The site plan that's being proposed, again, it replaces the 17 large big-box buildings with 180 single-family detached condominiums. The rectangular shapes you see on the site plan here are not the buildings. They're the footprints that the building could be built within. So it's not that dense as it looks on that. And the reason there's a typical footprint is that there's a variety of unit types and styles. There's different options that people can use. So it would be a variety of units within those footprints. I think you can see that the modified site plan has more of an appearance of basically a mini subdivision, but it has single family condominium units rather than single family homes on individual lots that would be in a regular subdivision. So the modified subdivision retains the multifamily use, but with a building design more in harmony with the area, and we believe more an appropriate transition in design from the existing communities to this community. And again, I stated, as we all know, there's a need for rental housing in eastern Sussex County, but there is also a need for appropriate housing for other people, particularly over 55 communities such as this, for the new and the current older residents, based on the increasing age of Sussex County residents. And without going into detail, the average Delaware resident is 39 years old. In Newcastle County, they're 37.5. In Kent County, they're 37. But in Sussex County, they're 47. Our average age in Sussex County is 10 years older than the other two counties. And what really is surprising, although maybe it shouldn't be surprising, is that if you look at the census data from the beach towns right along the coast, as well as areas like Long Neck and Ocean View, the average median age in those areas is 64 years of age. So that's the average median. So half the people in basically the beach areas are over 64 years old. And
are you saying you're more likely to live longer in Sussex?
Apparently. I'm one of the people that pulled that average up, by the way.
Me too.
So obviously, with that kind of population, there's a need for over 55 communities. And it's not just because I don't want to be around kids or anything like that. There's advantages to the over 55 communities. These homes tend to be smaller homes. They have master bedrooms on the first floor. There's accessibility and safety issues that are a key part of the design components. Options are available to provide handicap access to bathrooms. There's other floor modifications that can be available. And basically, the homes are designed to be more navigable and safer for older residents. Many purchasers include current area residents who are seeking to remain living in the area but want to do that step down to something smaller, not their existing larger home and yard and maintenance, so that they can get a smaller house where a lot of the building maintenance and the lawn maintenance are taken care of by the owners association. And the applicant believes that this particular site, this location, is a much more appropriate and compatible location for that type of community. As to the actual development site plan, the development, as I said, will contain 180 single-family detached condominium units. That is a density of 3.7 units per acre. And this land is already zoned GR, so the 3.7 units per acre is actually less than the density that's already permitted on the GR zone land. The land is located in the coastal area, which is one of the growth areas of the county's comprehensive plan, and that recognizes that a range of housing types should be permitted, including multifamily type homes. It's also in a state investment level 2 and 3, where growth is anticipated by both the county and the state. Central water will be provided by Tidewater Utilities, central sewer by the county. The applicant will be responsible for entrance and road improvements as required by DLDOT along both of the road frontages and improvements to the road. There'd also be shared use paths along both of the road frontages. There'd be a vegetated or forested buffer at least 20 feet in width installed along the perimeter of the development with adjacent lands, and that buffer actually is increased to 25 feet along this area here by the development next door, and then also over here where there's also some homes. There'll also be a 20-foot landscape buffer along the rear of the homes that border the two roads. So the rear of these homes, there'd be landscape buffer along both of the Old Mill Road and Railway Road. The buffer is in the conditions that the planning and zoning did recommend. It is spelled out in there. I mentioned there's a 1.6 acres of non-title federally regulated wetlands located in the northwest corner of the site. Those wetlands will remain undisturbed in their natural wooded state, and there will be a 50-foot buffer established from any home to the wetland line. The site is in Zone X under the FEMA insurance map, so it's outside of the floodplain. The 3.6 acres of woodland, again located in the northwest corner, 0.39 acres will be removed, so 89-90% of the existing woods would remain on the site. Stormwater management facilities would be designed and constructed in full compliance with DENREC regulations. There is a recreational area right by the front entrance that will consist of a clubhouse, a pool and deck, 2 pickleball courts, community gardens, and a dog park. The plan, we were requesting that the amenities would be required to be completed prior to the issuance of the 90th certificate of occupancy. The development would have sidewalks located on one side of all the internal streets with shielded street lighting. I mentioned there will be shared use paths located along the two public roads. Each unit will have a 2-car garage and space for 2 cars in the driveway. And in addition, at the recreation center, there'd be 47 parking spaces, 44 regular and 3 ADA compliant. And as requested by the Planning and Zoning Commission, there would be an unobstructed, unpaved access from Railway Road to Sundance Circle to provide an emergency vehicle access to the site. And that's right up here. That'll be unobstructed through there. And again, that was at the request of the commission. Most importantly, the modified single-family unit site plan presents an appropriate transition in design, and it's much more in harmony in appearance with the single-family communities that already exist in the area. Based on a letter that was submitted to the record and the testimony made by Mr. Lampnier at the planning and zoning meeting, and Mr. Lampnier is one of the co-chairmen of the Evans Farm Watch, it's my understanding that the design of the new application is much more acceptable and preferred by many, if not most, of the residents of the area. In closing, when the council approved the Linder application in 2021, there were a number of reasons that the council stated. Basically, those reasons apply to this also. And just very briefly, The land zone GR provides for medium-density residential use of up to 4 units per acre. A multifamily residential community is consistent with the existing zoning classifications in the area and is appropriate since there will be central water and sewer. That a multifamily development at this location is consistent with the comprehensive plan. That DelDOT determined that the traffic impact of that application actually would be minor, and the applicant would be required to do road improvements and the path improvements. And again, our application is actually fewer units, and being an age-restricted community has less of a traffic impact. And that under the county zoning ordinance, there really is no definitional distinction between a condominium multifamily unit and an apartment or higher-rise multifamily unit. Now, those findings were made, it was just in 2021. No conditions have changed in that area, so I would just say that they equally apply to this application. And finally, at its meeting on January 3rd, the Planning Commission did unanimously recommend approval of this application, subject to conditions A through Q. The applicant believes that, again, this application is an appropriate use of the land and the existing GR zoning. It's in compliance with the comp plan. It's much more compatible with the existing residential communities in the area, much more acceptable to the many area residents, and again, is much more in compliance with the nature and character of the area. So based on the findings of the commission and subject to the conditions recommended by the commission, we do respectfully request the council's approval. And that would conclude our presentation, subject to, of course, any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Fuquay. And I know the term is relative, but you're briefer than normal.
Thank you, Mr. Moore.
Were there any questions from the council?
I don't think so. I have one amendment. Nope. That's it.
You're good?
Yeah, but I'm going to have one amendment.
Okay.
Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Yes, come forward, please. Give us your name and address.
My name is Martin Lampner. I reside at 205 Chad Place, Ocean View, Delaware. And it's not often I get to come up before this body and appear for you for the developer. It's a unique experience, I think, for both of us. But that having been said, I want to get into the record something that transpired here, which I think is important for other developers to understand. Our neighborhood association, formerly Evans Farm Watch, we will be becoming the White's Neck Communities Association, and we'll be operating under that name, and we'll continue to go on, is approachable. That was what was very different between this and what we saw on the previous application. Mr. Shell actually reached out to us. We sat down. We worked together. We were able to give some ground on both sides and produce a workable design. I think if that happened more often, you would find your lives far happier than they probably are when people like myself and the entourage I brought with us the last time shows up in your hearing rooms. Mr. Fuquay has taken pretty much everything I wanted to say and said it. So in reference to Mr. Moore's injunction to be brief, unless there are questions, we recommend the council approve this development.
Any questions to council? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else? Seeing none. Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none. Operator, can you check to see if there's anyone listening remotely who may want to opine on this matter?
If anyone has joined via the conference line and would like to speak on this matter, dial 5-star. We have Tracy Bryant on the line. Tracy, your line is out. Please state your name and address for the record or make your comment.
Hi, my name is Tracy Bryant. I'm at 36653 Baltimore Avenue in the Banks Acres development, which is right behind on the other side of Railway, where this development will be built, which one concern was the wildlife that'll be there, but I'm sure they'll find someplace else to be. One of the questions I had was, will this building affect our wells? Because we're all currently on wells over in Banks Acres.
Central water, okay. Public water.
I mean,
I'm not sure.
I'll be brave and say I don't think it should, because it's going to be on public water. There'll be no wells drilled here. It's going to be on public water system and a public sewer system. So no wells and
okay.
No septic.
Right. So I was asking if the building and stuff would affect the existing when the building starts.
I'm not sure.
That's something not under our jurisdiction. There would be a state agency that would check and make sure there was compliance with any regulations during the building in regards to your water and sewer.
Okay, I'll look into that. Because they did remove a building and some chicken coops that were in that piece of land that was across the street that we didn't get any notices on, so I'm hoping that that didn't affect us. Can you explain what a condominium unit is?
Why don't we ask Mr. Fuqua, if you don't mind, just to explain that concept.
Yeah, the it has different meanings, but to make a long story short, a condominium is a legal form of ownership. Most people own their homes, their lots, that's fee ownership. A condominium is where the land is in common, and you may own the building on the land, but it's a condominium, so everyone has an interest in everything else. Some people refer to, for instance, Sea Colony as being condominiums. They are condominium ownership, but really that's just a multifamily building with individual units in it. A condominium isn't really a physical building, it's really a form of ownership. But I think to get to what your question is, these will be detached single family homes. They're smaller homes. They're in condominium ownership, meaning there's no lot lines. All of that land you see there would be in common, so everybody who buys a unit there would have a 180th interest in that land. And the buildings themselves, at least the exteriors of the buildings, would also be have a general maintenance by the community itself as opposed to the individual unit owner. So again, it's a form of legal ownership. I hope I explained it as best I could.
Yeah, thank you very much, because sometimes when you think condos, you think they're like high rises like apartments, right. So that's very good to hear. The other question I had was, you mentioned the shielded street lighting. So like I mentioned, we're on Railway on the other side on Banks Acres. Will all that lighting be facing Airway? Like, am I gonna come out of my house at night and it's just gonna be like this big, huge lighting thing going on, or we still have the nice, quiet, dark yards we're used to?
The county on any type of development, subdivisions or something like this, conditional use project, as a general requirement, they require that any street lighting be shielded and downward directed. So the idea is they don't want escaping or light that leaves the intended purpose, and that is to basically illuminate the area below the light for safety reasons and obviously walking, things of that nature. So no, there should be no impact, and whatever's here is basically going to be what is in almost all residential developments that are being built now in Sussex County, I suspect everywhere.
Yeah, and in fact, the proposed amendment or the proposed condition and stated all lighting on the site shall be downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. And that was part of the recommendation from planning and zoning.
Thank you, sir. That's very good to hear as well. I just have one other note. We didn't receive in the mail any of the notices of meetings. We learned about them by seeing the signs. So that's just a note for record.
Okay, thank you very
and
much.
I thank you for listening to my questions.
Sure. Is operator, is there anyone else that would like to opine?
At this time, there is no one else on the line.
Okay, thank you, operator. Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close public record.
Okay, we'll close public hearing. It's okay with council, close public record. Ask Mr. Moore read the short title.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for multifamily 180 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 48.36 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 9 with conditions 10A through Q.
Mr. Hudson, you have an amendment you want
to? I do, Mr. President. Condition J states that the construction will occur between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. Through 2 p.m. on Saturdays. It does not say anything about Sunday hours. I would like to add into that condition that there will be no work on Sunday.
So after Saturday's period, there shall be no Sunday hours?
Yes, sir. Just to make sure it's clarified and we don't get the complaints and phone calls about, so that it's clear on both parties.
More, if you read the what you got written up there.
Yes, Mr. President, J would be amended to read construction site work, excavation, grading, and deliveries to or from the property shall only occur between the hours of 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. through 2 p.m. on Saturdays. There shall be no Sunday hours during site work and initial construction. All dumpsters and roll-off containers shall be covered to prevent construction materials and debris from blowing across the site or onto neighboring properties.
And that's your amendment?
That would be my amendment.
Motion,
sir.
Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley, any questions on the motion, the amendment only? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I will, yes, motion carried. Now, Mr. Moore, read short title again.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for multifamily 180 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 48.36 acres for the reasons given by planning zoning 1 through 9 with conditions 10A through Q, with J amended by this council.
Pleasure, council.
Mr. President, I would think that, or I know that this application is a lot
better.
Make,
we have to make a motion first.
Okay, oh, I'm sorry. I make a motion to approve.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
I vote yes, agree as amended. I agree with planning and zoning's recommendations. This is a much better site plan and plan overall.
Okay, Mr. Schaefer.
I will vote yes based on the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Mrs. Green.
I'll vote yes based on the recommendation of planning and zoning as amended.
Mr. Riley.
I'll also vote yes based on planning and zoning's recommendation as amended.
I also agree with planning and zoning recommendations as amended. I will vote yes. Motion carried. Conditional use number 2401 is passed. It was great to have the public here in support. Okay, entertaining motion to go into executive session for pending potential litigation.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley, second.
I second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I'll be at the motion carried. We're now in executive session.